people with developmental disabilities living, working, and participating in their own communities becoming the norm, not the exception. So says Salem-based Hope Tree Family Services, which provides residential, educational, and support service to that population and to at-risk children and youth. Joining WFIR anchor reporter Gene Morano and I to talk about their services and about the movement to mainstream more people with intellectual disabilities is Mark Early, Director of Communications for Hope Tree Family Services, and Jennifer Mills, the Manager of Community Engagement. Jennifer, Mark, good morning. Nice to have you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming. And Jennifer, let's start with you, if we may. Community Engagement is a new initiative for Hope Tree, funded by Medicaid. Jennifer, describe how it works and what the goal is for the program.
Our goal is to get people out into their community so that they can form natural supports and develop a wider circle of friends and basically improve their quality of life by, you know, having them have access to the same types of supports that you and I have.
And we actually had a couple people from the program here at Wheeler Broadcasting last week with some of your staff members. And is it just a way sort of making sure that this population is not isolated?
That's true.
And maybe giving them some aspirations about working or living out in that population?
That's right. When we came out here last week, we actually were kind of looking for the possibility of some volunteer opportunities. You know, we have folks who are interested in this industry, and it was just a way of having them have more access to seeing, you know, if this is a career option for them or something they're interested in, just a small step in the direction of what do you think you might have to do to be able to eventually work at a radio station.
You know, one of the things you sent me some notes, Jennifer, about that you said Virginia has redesigned its Medicare waiver services to accommodate community engagement services. Why was that necessary, and does that mean that this is largely funded by Medicaid?
It is a billable Medicaid service, and basically what we're trying to do is get people out of more isolated settings and into their natural environments. And in groups of like one staff member to approximately three individuals with disabilities, because if you are taking a smaller group of people with intellectual disabilities out into their community, you have more of an opportunity for them to work on skills that might be a barrier to them if they were going to find a job or a barrier to developing friendships. Having a smaller ratio of staff to participants is a great way to be able to work on some of the skills that they would need to be more active in their community.
You have a special ed background as a teacher.
I do.
The whole idea globally of getting more people, young adults with intellectual disabilities out into the mainstream, is that becoming more of a norm? Is that something that nationwide or worldwide is happening?
Yes, it is. And since you mentioned my background in education, special ed teachers have been doing this for many years in a program called No Child Left Behind. And so anyone who's interested in becoming a special ed teacher would be learning about strategies to make sure that people with disabilities are not isolated into a special ed classroom. They're out, you know, in the general ed curriculum with accommodations. And teaching not just the students with disabilities, but the broader community how to honor and respect people who are different.
Mm. We're talking with Jennifer Mills and with Mark Early from Hope Tree Family Services. Mark, talk about the residential services provided by Hope Tree and where they're located. And how they're funded. You're sort of spread all over the state.
We are spread all over the state. We operate 19 group homes for adults with intellectual disabilities. And they are from Abingdon to Virginia Beach, Martinsville to Fredericksburg. And within these group homes, we also offer some respite service. We offer in-home service. It's not – one of the great things about Hope Tree is we're not a cookie-cutter institution. We try to meet people where they are and get them to where they need to be.
Now, as far as these types of homes, some of them are – correct me if I'm wrong – in just residential settings neighborhoods,
yes.
And you also have some like foster programs.
We have, as far as the group homes for the adults, probably three-fourths of the homes that we operate are residential homes that, you know, mom and dad have taken care of their son or daughter all their life, and then they wake up one day and they're in their late 70s and realize, we can't do this anymore. We need someone to help us. And so they have contacted Hope Tree and donated their family home in their neighborhood. And so that son or daughter gets to keep living in the home they grew up in. And then we provide the services and invite other people to come in and live there. And that creates that group home in that location. On the other side, you know, we were founded in 1890 as an orphanage. I like to say that we are truly older than sliced bread. And we have foster care has become the main service that we provide for at-risk children and youth. And we have offices in Salem, of course, Martinsville, Chester, and Richmond. Mm-hmm. And at any given time, when you consider all the programs that we do, we have about 250, 300 people in care on any given day. One of the biggest things we still offer here in Salem is Hope Tree Academy, which is a day school for at-risk students.
How would do the families that have children, let's say, with intellectual disabilities, when they go into these homes, how much financial liability do they have? I mean, does Medicaid cover it all, or is there some sharing?
Medicaid doesn't cover everything. And one of the ways that we try to describe it, because it gets to be a complicated process, most of the Medicaid payments will basically keep a roof over your head and mostly keep you fed. The other additional services that we provide far and beyond just the basics, that's where we have fundraisers. We are a benevolent organization. We have lots of churches and individuals and some foundations that support us, because they believe that what we are doing for these people, whether it's a child trying really hard to get their high school diploma, or an adult with intellectual disabilities who is really wanting to come to work at a radio station, mm-hmm. They support our efforts to make those dreams come true.
Hmm. Before I throw it back to Joey, I want to ask you one other question. With programs like community engagement and increased efforts to place more people with disabilities in the workforce, Chris's Coffee and Custard, which I told you about, is going to open soon, and they're training a staff full of young adults with intellectual disabilities. There are baggers at Kroger's. That seems to be a program at Kroger stores. Could we be looking at a possible shortage of housing down the road if you want to put more people with these types of disabilities or challenges out into the mainstream? Is something that, you know, even a Hope Tree couldn't handle? Are there any talk in the industry, either of you, about a shortage of places for these people to live?
As far as to live, I mean, there are one of the great things about the people who serve this segment of the population is that they are very forward thinking, saying, okay, this is the problem that we're facing. We're going to overcome this. What's next? And sponsored homes that Jennifer can tell you more about is the wave of the future.
Is it keeping up the pace of sponsored homes with the pace of more people with intellectual disabilities being mainstream? Is the pace of housing keeping up?
I'm not sure exactly what the ratio is on people who are on waiting lists to get into sponsored homes.
But there are waiting lists.
I'm sure they're probably.
Okay. It's one of those things that you see it in both the ministry needs for at-risk children and youth, as well as adults with intellectual disabilities. I don't know that we will ever be able to fully meet all the needs, because that need is always going to be there. You look back through the history of civilization, that need has always been around. We think it's always going to be around. I mean, that's why Hope Tree's still here after nearly 130 years.
All righty, it's 8:53 at WFIR, visiting this morning with Jennifer Mills, the Manager of Community Engagement, and Mark Early, Director of Communications for Hope Tree Family Services. Let's see here. Where does Hope Tree's funding come from besides Medicaid reimbursements? Jennifer, there are fundraising efforts like the 26th Annual Walk for Hope that's coming up on May 11th. Where is that money targeted, for example?
And I think, Mark, you wanted to talk.
I'll jump in and take over that
one.
Sure. Yes, this is our 27th Annual Walk for Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of fundraisers that we do throughout the year through appeal letters that we send out to our donors. Mm-hmm. We conduct several different events around the state. We have, like I said earlier, we have lots of churches and individuals who have supported us for years because they believe in that what we do is very, very important.
Right.
It's very vital. And the largest single organized community fundraiser that we have is our Walk for Hope, coming up the Saturday before Mother's Day.
May 11th.
May 11th. You can come on and jump on our website, and there's a link there. If you can't come out, if you can't join a team, you can contribute online. if you want to come up and just see the property and just get to meet the people, we would love to have you.
And okay. the website is?
HopeTreeFS.org.
Okay. A couple of minutes left. I wanted to talk to you again about community coaching. And from what I understand, this is a step before community engagement, where some of these people need one-on-one training before they go out into the community engagement program. Talk about that briefly.
Community coaching is pretty similar to community engagement, but the individuals who would qualify for that service would have some type of barrier that would keep them from being able to participate in community engagement to the fullest extent. And so with community coaching, basically you have one staff member and one participant, and that staff member works with whatever the barrier is that would allow them to overcome that barrier to be able to participate in community engagement. And the regs say that it can be up to like 1 year of doing community coaching, so that within that amount of time, hopefully you will have helped them with some strategies that would allow them to be able to work in a group of three.
And make an assessment as to how much they can engage mm-hmm. with the community.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you quickly, what are the benefits to everyone else if people with intellectual challenges are more mainstream? What's the benefit to everyone else?
Well, I'll give you a real life example. Right now we have a team of individuals who are participating in community engagement, and one of their venues is through volunteering at hospice, and they are making no-sew blankets. And so they're really able to contribute to, you know, very good volunteer opportunities that are out there, and they volunteer for churches, the rescue mission. You know, they do a lot in our community that adds value to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has value. And one of the things, over the years, we have lots of groups come up and tour campus and, you know, visit the different programs and get to meet some of our adults. And it is life-altering in many instances that you have college men and women who have never encountered anyone with an intellectual disability, and they get to meet one of our residents, and they will go, wow, I had no idea that these people exist and that they are as open and wonderful and loving and kind as they are. And it's life-altering.
You were talking about a program at Roanoke College where they actually buddy
yes.
students up.
The program is called Best Buddies, and basically it's a student-run organization, and they have a group of students who come onto the Salem campus, but they also meet our residents out in the community, and they form connections and hopefully natural supports down the road.
Real quickly, about 20 seconds left, is there a mindset changing out there as far as the way people approach people with intellectual challenges? There's a mindset as far as, you know.
I hope so. I hope that, you know, our society is, you know, accepting of all people who have, you know, unique qualities. And so I hope so. I always see the best in people when I go out with individuals with special needs.
All right. Mark Gurley and Jennifer Mills, Hope Tree Family Services. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.